Let us pray. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it was a couple of years ago, and it was a Thursday afternoon, and I was in my office when a woman came into the church without an appointment, which is fine and very normal, but she had recently joined our church, but I hadn't seen her for about 6 months. And it turns out that she had been in Milan taking care of her elderly aunt and uncle every weekend for the last 6 months. And those of you who are involved with senior care know what that means. She had shared with her cousins just recently, including the children of the elderly couple, the aunt and uncle she was taking care of, that she would need her weekends back soon after 6 months. Well, she came by the church because she had just gotten off the phone with one of her cousins who said to her, "You're abandoning the family." They said, "This was your mother's baby sister, and your mother took care of her." I was so proud of this woman, though, because she still said, "I can do other things for them, but I can't do weekends anymore." How hard do we push? What do we take responsibility for? What can we say no to and still be a loving person? You know, many people in their desire to do the right thing, in their desire to be like Jesus, or in their desire to avoid conflict, end up taking on problems God never intended for them to take. Some of you here have taken on your friend's chronic loneliness, your boss's irresponsibility. Some of you have taken on your sister's unending crises or your spouse's immaturity. What do we do? What do you do with the stuff in your life, let alone in their life? Two other factors make it tough. You throw in the call to be a servant of Jesus, and it seems really confusing. Aren't we supposed to help everybody? What does the Bible say regarding limits? It says quite a lot, actually, which is good news. The other big thing, too, is this. There's clinical symptoms like depression and anxiety disorders and eating disorders, our escapes into addictions, into porn, into Netflix, into technology, into guilt and shame issues, and relational struggles. I think one of the biggest impediments to you and to me taking a deeper step in our walk of faith is not understanding this. I'm afraid if I take one step deeper, if I jump off this safety dock that I'm on that I think is all I need, if I take one step deeper with Jesus, he's going to put me in charge of everything. I'm going to have to care for everybody, and I'm going to get out of control. He's going to throw me in deeper water than I know what to do with, and I'll have to say, yes, I'll be over my head, and I'll be in charge of fixing the world. It's part of why I didn't really want to be a pastor. Dealing with all the problems of the world, all the people far from God, let alone all the people who say they're close to God, and make me responsible for everything. And some of you are saying right now, "You mean I'm not responsible for everything?" And some of you are saying, "I know, that's why I'm only going just so far as to not feel guilty for not moving at all in the direction of Jesus." This church exists for you to take one step closer to Jesus. You know, for us to understand this, we can look to Galatians, this letter that Paul wrote to the churches in the region of Galatia. And many scholars believe that Galatians was the earliest of Paul's letters that are still in existence today. In Galatians, God shows us what we're in charge of and what we're not. God helps us to know when to say yes, how to say no, to take control of our lives. God keeps us as Christians from feeling like we have to fix everyone, and God's word is a spiritual marker to help us guard our souls. Paul was writing to these Christ followers in this region because he was fearful. This was from his first missionary journey, and after he left, some other people came on and started loading on the rules and started loading on the laws and the ways of doing things that were not exactly of God, because they were saying that salvation comes with strings attached, when God's word tells us that salvation is God's free gift. Galatians 5:1, Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." In other words, you were not set free by Christ to just go be enslaved to all these other things. You were set free by Christ in order to experience what full freedom in Christ looks like. There are so many opinions of how to live the spiritual life. Just try Googling it. Everywhere, everybody's got an opinion. And in the same thing in the region of Galatia, where these other people had come along after Paul, they had so many laws and so many opinions of how to live a spiritual life. The Christ followers in that region were under scrutiny and trying to figure out, isn't there a simple message in all of this? How can I know what I'm responsible for, what I'm not responsible for? It sounds just like 2015, doesn't it? So Paul sets out to write this letter to them, because if they didn't get this right, Christianity would end up just another religion of do's and don'ts about earning your way to heaven. What Paul says to the Galatians when they're hearing about all these ways of how they have to do things is, he says, Christ is the living way to God. Jesus himself said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And so Paul, in order to help the Galatians understand that, and I think to help us understand it, shares in the final chapter of Galatians 6 a couple key verses I want to point out. Paul does say this: in Christ, they're talking about all these different laws, many of them the Hebrew laws, but he's saying Christ is the living law, and he says, in Christ, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then he says this: for each one should carry his or her own load. Three verses apart, carry each other's burdens, sounds like one thing. But then he says, each one should carry his or her own load. Wait, so are we supposed to help each other carry burdens, or are we not? Am I supposed to carry my load, or am I supposed to allow other people to help me with my burdens? Both. Here's what it is. 2 and 4. We are responsible to others. We are responsible for ourselves. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. We are responsible to one another. Many times, other people have burdens that are too big to bear. They don't have enough strength. They don't have enough resources. They don't have enough knowledge to carry the load that has been dumped on them, and they need help. Denying ourselves to help somebody carry a load that is too big for them, or that they can't carry for that long, is God's will. Bear one another's burdens. Someone shouldn't have to carry that rock around for too long before another person can come and help them. Denying ourselves to do for others what they cannot do for themselves is showing the sacrificial love of Jesus. And that's what Christ did for us. He did what we could not do for ourselves. He saved us. He redeemed us. On the other hand, Galatians 6:5 says, each one carry his or her own load. In other words, you have responsibilities that only you can carry. These things are your own particular load that you need to take on daily, that you need to work out. And no one can do certain things for us. We have to take ownership of certain aspects of life that are in our load. In other words, each one of us has a load to carry that's designed for us to carry. And it's not always easy. It's responsibilities. But it's designed for us. Here's where it helps even further. If you understand Greek, the Greek words for burden, which is this, and the Greek word for load, which is that, are different. So when Paul says, carry one another's burdens, Paul's talking about a boulder. The Greek word for burden is baraj, like barrage, meaning a heavy weight, like a boulder. These burdens can crush us, they can break our backs, and we need help when boulders crash into our lives, times of crisis, times of tragedy. The Greek word for load is phorcheion, meaning cargo or daily toil, like portion, like a knapsack. Everyday things we need to do that are possible to carry on our own. And we're expected to deal with our own feelings, our own attitudes, and our own behaviors, as well as the responsibilities that God has given us to each one, even though it does take effort. Now, problems happen when people act like their boulders are daily loads. No, it's all right. I got this. I don't need any help. I'm just going to go through life like this. I'm going to go through this season, and I don't need any help. Just really, it's fine. It's fine. But eventually, it's not going to be fine. And problems happen when people act like their boulders are daily loads, and they refuse help. Or they act as if their daily loads are boulders. Here, can you just take this for me? Really, I'm kind of done with it. It's too much for me. Some people don't take the responsibility God designed them to in either case. The responsibility when you have a boulder in your life is to find help. The responsibility that you have for your daily things is to take care of them. That's what Paul means. True pain on one hand, irresponsibility on the other. What I am to own and care for, and what I'm not, this gives me freedom. God designed the universe where we live within ourselves. We inhabit our souls. We're responsible for the things that make up us. In the Bible, God shows us what we're responsible for and what we're not responsible for. For example, we're not responsible for other people. Nowhere are we commanded to have other control, only self-control. Although some of us spend an awful lot of energy trying to control others. So let's practice boulder or backpack. We are to have compassion on those carrying a boulder of sin, for example. You can't bear it for them, but Christ can. And maybe what's in your backpack is to share when you see somebody else needs Christ in their life, to help them through. Christ can do that. But you have to help them, to come alongside them. You're burdened for their life, even for their salvation. You can't believe for them, but you can believe the gospel and bring your burden for your friend to Jesus and lay it at his feet. I'll never forget one time I spoke out in my fraternity because I thought it was a bad idea to bring strippers in. They had gotten them out about 3 years before I was in, Sophomore year, the guys who remembered it wanted to bring him back in. And I stood up in front of the 64 guys and said, I don't think this is a good idea, and listed all the reasons. And I went up to, and the whole house fell apart. It was a horrible time, but one of the most powerful times as well. And God showed me, when you speak up, you give God room to work. One of the most powerful things was going back up to my room, and my roommate, Eric Braun, the one I idolized, he was up there crying for me. He said, you have no idea what the guys are saying against you. His weeping for me was sharing this boulder that I was just receiving as a result of taking a stand against strippers in my fraternity house. That's being burdened. In the meantime, when you see someone under the burden of sin, you can share prayer with them. You can pray for them, or better yet, say, hey, let's pray together about this. It could be a moment of peace for them. You can share Bible verses with them. There are so many promises for anything that people may be going through. You can give them something to think about. Write it down. Text it to them so it's on their phone when they need to look at it again. It's some of the best medicine that we have out there. We're not supposed to carry those for too long. Another thing that we can have burdened for, we can have deep sympathy for one another's bolder times of sorrow and loss. I pray for a sympathetic heart. Seek after it. Be big-hearted. When was the last time you asked God to grow your heart? To show your love by actual support whenever possible, not just tolerance. And church, don't just come and go here without reaching out a little bit to someone else. When you're here, I know sometimes you got to zip right out, but how much better when you take a moment for someone else? I think that's within our backpacks. Reach out to someone else. Don't just come and go real quick. And then Paul said, each one carry his or her own load. There comes a point beyond which you can't keep bearing one another's burdens. You've prayed about them, and they keep sinning. Don't take their shame on you. Oh, this is huge. I have some dear friends who take the shame of their adult children making bad choices, who take the shame of family situations, and they take it all on themselves. You know what? It's okay to catch your breath. But there also is this thing that happens when you take the shame of someone else on yourself and you're like, I can't face it. I can't go to church. And it takes you out, even though it's not even your shame that's the cause. It's okay to catch your breath for a season, but there are people who have stayed away from church for decades because of someone else's in their family who's gone AWOL. And we get embarrassed, so we cut ourselves off from church. Instead, let us trust their salvation to God. Put them in God's hands. And let's stay close. And let's be there for each other. If we don't, cutting ourselves off only helps the people that we're worried about stay one step further from God. Paul writes, everyone shall bear his or her own load or backpack. Every one of us has a load to bear. That backpack contains many things. First, you must have a personal relationship, a personal faith. Not only is your faith in a person, in Jesus Christ, it's not just in a set of ideas, it's in Christ. There must be a work of God's grace in your own soul. Bear his or her own load. That means come with your own sin to your Savior. It's not just your grandma's Savior. by your own act of faith. Have you owned it? You must find peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't trust your nationality or your heritage or your station in life or anything else about yourself. Your faith is in God, not in yourself. And if your parents are great Christ followers, or if your grandma is one of those praying grandmas, pillars of the church, then you too better be one of them. You too better own it. You better put that in your backpack, not just leave it in grandma's. And grandmas, if you're listening, you'll do well to remind the rest of the family not to count on your apron strings when the going gets tough, to get them to their own relationship with Jesus. Everyone shall bear his or her own load. If you're concerned about your kids or your grandkids, you have this great window to sit down with them and say, this may sound strange or foreign or awkward, or you may be used to it, but I have this concern and I simply want to share it with you in love. Share how it works with them, and they will treasure that time, even if they're still weighing what you're saying. There are so many revered grandmas here, and I want to see the kids and grandkids own their faith. Paul says, each one bear your own load, your personal backpack, your service. Your load could be your serving. What's your load? What's your burden? What's God called you to do? I have a work that's my own, a ministry of Christ's that's mine, my burden, and I pray that you have yours. It's a biblical principle, something nobody else can do. A few other items that are yours that no one else should be taking care of are things like your feelings. Don't push them on someone else. Someone else can't force your feelings. Your attitudes and beliefs, they're yours. And your behaviors. Galatians, just two verses after this one, says a man reaps what he sows. I own my behaviors. I carry these. My choices, my values, my talents, my thoughts, my limits. I'm in charge of setting limits on my exposure to people who behave poorly. I can't make them right. And that's not unloving. This separating process protects love in some cases. It's taking a stand against things that destroy love. This week, take your struggles and pray over them. And ask yourself, are they a boulder or a backpack? Own them and allow Jesus to share them, trusting in him. Once upon a time, a young man was at the end of his rope, and seeing no way out, he dropped to his knees in prayer. Lord, I can't go on, he said. I have too heavy a cross to bear. The Lord replied, my son, if you can't bear its weight, just place your cross inside this room and then open that other door and pick out any cross you wish. Well, the young man was filled with relief. Thank you, Lord, he sighed, and he did what he was told. Upon entering the other door, he saw many other crosses, some so high he couldn't see the tops of them, some so big that they looked like they weighed tons. And then he spotted a tiny cross leaning against the far wall. I'd like that one, Lord, he said. And the Lord replied, my son, that's the cross you just brought in. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you that we are not alone. Thank you, God, that you have shown us, that you have given us guidance and wisdom. Lord, some of us have never realized our salvation. It's all from you, but it's really in our hands. It's a part of the load that you've asked us to carry. Being a part of a ministry, a Bible study, being a part of a mission, a service opportunity, that's something for our backpacks. God, help us to distinguish. And Lord, for those in our lives who have boulders, let us help them. Lord, help us to find time and energy And God, I thank you that under the burden of sin, where you found us, you did what only you can do in order to free us, that we could put our trust in you. I pray, God, now for those who need to own that to which you've called us. In Jesus' name, amen.